Do you know that this year, we're coming up on 5 years.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Is that right? So then how many episodes is that? We've been doing one week for five years.
We're going to be 250 episodes in, I don't know.
And 25 is the silver, 50 is the gold. Is there anything for 250? Is that triple silver?
What is it? Centennial? Wasn't it?
Wait,
like,
guys, this is our 250th episode. Also known as...
Come on.
250esimo.
Bravo.
Welcome, guys. So nice to be here.
Oh, he came from the back of the theater.
Yeah, I came. I finally made my way to the front. Ah, nice to see you guys. Look at you guys. 200. Anyway, hey, listen, do you mind if I drop some beats on you? That'd be okay.
Bravissimo.
Okay. Bravissimo. Let me tell you something about... Just close your eyes, okay? Now... Imagine Italian Riviera, 1982, white Ferrari Mondiale. Puff, puff, screaming down the autostrada. You have a Cenzano with ice. Okay, now you're feeling the vibe, no? Listen, let me ask you something. When you're making a podcast, everybody wants to know, what's that old-fashioned recipe? But one thing, one favore, testa ligata, sfidato, what I'm trying to say is, smarless, huh?
250esima, ta-da,
ta-da. Hey.
250esima, ta-da, ta-da.
Whatever.
250esima, ta-da, ta-da.
I love you.
250esima.
Do one thing in this year, get smartless. 250.
250esima.
Shawnee, have you been? It's been a minute.
My nephew and his girlfriend and three friends are visiting in town this weekend, which is super fun.
Wait, are we going to see them tonight?
No, I think it's too many people.
Right.
So you're not going to go.
Well, am I going to see you tonight?
No.
What?
I know. It's going to be bad. But, but I don't get to see my nephew and everybody. I feel bad.
Well, saw them last night, right?
Why don't you come over here afterwards?
That'll happen. Hey, Jason, why don't you come over there afterwards?
Right around 8:30 or something, drive across the city and spend another 2 hours?
Yeah. This will happen for sure.
Yeah. But last night, I took him to Koi, right, last night?
Sure you
and
did.
Your favorite seafood restaurant.
It was so good. And I was walking back to the car and there was a pothole that I thought was just like a surface, like a puddle. And it was a massive pothole and I completely twisted my ankle. It was so fucking painful. Look at this.
Ow, is it all swollen?
Yeah,
let's see.
It's huge.
Come here, Bubbins.
Well, you can't see it. It's huge.
No, I can see
that.
Did you
iced it?
This is going to heal fast, right? Like, I freaked out last night.
Probably not. It'll probably heal the wrong way and you'll be club. Do you know the term club foot?
Dead foot. Fortunately, it's not going to take anything away from your life. Usually, it means that you can't be playing basketball or doing all the jogging and all that
stuff. Luckily, you don't do any of it.
Yeah, this is true.
Is that what you're getting at, Jason?
You'll still be able to shuffle into Chin Chin for lunch and Koi for dinner.
Shuffle.
What if you go to the doctor and you're like, will this affect my ability to watch TV all day?
I just prop it up on the couch. That's what I've been doing.
Will I still be able to chop celery into my egg salad?
No, tuna salad.
Will I have to cut my Sloppy Joe intake?
You know what, though? Here's the deal. They went to the tar pits, the La Brea tar pits near the museum.
They being your nephew.
My nephew and girlfriend and their friends.
Is that still a tourist attraction here?
It is. They'd never been. And they bought crickets. They bought a bag of crickets and they ate them. Sour cream and onion crickets. And they pulled them out.
What does that have to do with the... What? Okay, go ahead.
Because they're saying the dinosaurs used to eat crickets back in the tar pit days? Why do they sell those?
No. They sell them in the gift shop. They sell them in the gift shop.
Why?
I have no idea.
The museum?
Yes, and they pulled them. You want one? I'm like, no, I'm not going to eat a cricket. Oh, God.
Why not?
The last time I heard crickets was Goodnight Oscar. It was right after the curtain went down. But that's...
Look at him. He's on fire day. He's on fuego.
Who would do the worst at some sort of like outdoor survivor type of show where you got to eat bugs and stuff like that? I think I might do even worse.
Well, you would call your lawyer and say, am I obligated to eat this? Imagine if we took the word obligation out of your vocabulary. You weren't allowed to use obligation.
Yeah, I need new shtick. I'm sick of my own fucking voice. I'm going to be silent today.
We love your voice.
Yeah.
I miss both you guys a lot.
I haven't seen you. I'm not going tonight.
I've been in New York and I've been with lots of friends and lots of people and obviously with Bradley, but I really miss you guys a lot.
I know.
I miss
likewise.
You too. I was thinking about that this morning.
I'm so jealous. I can't see you. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Speaking of can't wait to see people, I can't wait for you to see our guest today.
Oh, great opening.
This person
line.
Is right. someone we
Unbelievable
all...
Unbelievable segue.
Thank you. She's someone we all know well, so much so that I'm not sure what I can say about her that won't give it away. But she's a prolific comedian. She's an author, super
Carol
producer,
Burnett.
Really great director. She played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz when she was 10. And more recently, I think she played Elphaba in the movie Wicked. I don't know. A Boston native, her summer job was working at an ice cream parlor where she'd sing Happy
Amy
Birthday
Paula.
With kazoos. Today, she's a comedic force in Hollywood. Hilarious colleague and the world's favorite cool mom to Regina George is our ridiculously funny friend, Amy Poehler.
No way.
Wait, truly?
Well, I guess that.
Come on.
Well.
Wait a second.
Holy shit.
Well.
Wait a second. First of all, how many levels am I?
I know. This
insulted.
Is what, of course, my first question is, did you know about this? And of course.
No.
Okay,
not
good.
A,
I love
not
it.
A glimpse of recognition on Will's face when you said all of those things.
There's no way that I thought, well, I knew that you worked at Brigham's, but I didn't in Boston.
Chadwick's, Will. I worked at Chadwick's.
No, sorry.
Unbelievable.
But we went to Brigham's with your dad, and he asked the people if they liked their job.
Yeah, let him finish, Amy. Yeah. I can't
Wait, Amy,
believe
did you
this.
Have to? Did you have to, because of kids stuff, did you have to like say, oh, I can't or whatever, or some schedule stuff and lie or something?
You know what? It was really easy to hide it. Nobody was asking if I was doing that.
Do you think Archie and Abel would have been able to keep the secret? Did you not tell them?
Well, I think one of them knew. One of them saw... our youngest saw my schedule on the kitchen table and said, you're doing Smartless?
Oh, wow.
Does Dad know?
No
and I
way.
Said, no, don't say anything.
I love
Abel
it.
Abel kept the secret.
It's so cool.
Way. And also, Amy and I were texting last night about something mm-hmm. else. Zero.
That's unbelievable.
I can't.
Amy, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to introduce you without them blowing it.
I'm so honored to be your guest, Sean, of
yes,
all three.
Likewise.
First of all, I've asked her to do it, and she said no. And then she said yes
well,
to
I
Sean.
Well, I wanted to wait until you had done 250 episodes to see if this thing was real.
Wait,
I know
truly?
We've been trying to get you on for so long, and it's so
well,
glad it worked out.
I usually
out.
Give something 5 years before I try it.
Sure.
wait, Will, how many times have you asked her to do it?
A couple times. I asked you to do it on tour, I think, right, Aim?
I think so. But, you know, it just had to, I just was waiting. I was waiting for my buddy Sean to give me the go-ahead.
Here I am. I gave her the green light, and she showed up
like a race car.
Hang on one second. Hang on. Amanda, get over here.
What? but wait, Sean, did you think for a second, like, wait, should I? Is this cool? Like, did you ask Bennett or Rob to, like, kind of float it by Will to see if
Amy's been on my list.
What are you guys talking about? Why do you have to float anything past anybody?
We kind of do that every once in a while.
Guys, nice, by the way, great welcome. Nice to see you all.
Hi.
I mean, Jesus. You're all talking about how weird it is that I'm here. Hi, I'm your guest. Nice to see you. Happy to be here. Good Lord.
First of all, You can't take over our podcast. You can't.
No, it's the only way to talk on this podcast is to completely take it over.
Believe me.
It's unbearable if the guest doesn't, because you make us sit and listen to you in the beginning anyway.
And it's torturous.
It's unbelievable.
What do you think about how
every single time I hear you guys talk about how much you miss each other, and am I wrong that you talk to each other every week?
No,
we don't get to see each other.
First of all, slow down. I'm outraged like five outrages ago. Okay.
This is so great. Wait, for Tracy, just to really air, for my sister.
Of course.
You guys were married and now you're not, and it's been years and years. And everything's going swimmingly.
What a great way to put it.
Anyway, let me be the first to say welcome to Smart Listening.
Thank you. We're 17 minutes in, but thank you for that.
Amy, this is so great.
Crickets joke, by the way, Will. That was a really good crickets.
That was a good one.
Thank you. Very, very smart. Yeah. Very sharp.
Thank you. Jason, are you okay with your mic?
Yeah, I'm having a real mic issue this morning. Is it bad for you guys? Is it bad for me?
No, it sounds great.
Okay, good.
It sounds fine.
Now, Amy, Will, how did you guys first meet?
Yeah, we're going to get into it.
No, we're
when
definitely
did it first
not.
Start to fracture?
No, we're definitely not.
Amy, can I tell this story about that you and I were talking about Sedaris the other day?
Oh yeah, that's a very funny story.
So, and I think I maybe told it once, but great
Amy Sedaris story.
So Amy Sedaris, who's working with us on the film, I was hanging out with her the other day, and Amy Poehler and Amy Sedaris would often get mixed up for each other because they're both comedians and they're both sort of blonde and kind of, you know,
cute and funny and talented and charming.
So they'd get mixed. And I've been with Poehler a million times where people would say to remember him, they go like, I'm such a fan of your brother. And you're like, oh, he's a lawyer. Mm. Thank you. He'll really appreciate it. So I guess it happened to Sedaris too. And one time, like 20 years ago, I read this article in a magazine where Sedaris says, people come up to me all the time and say, oh my God, I love you so great. And I'm such a, you know, I just love you and Will. And Sedaris says in the interview, and I usually say to them like, yeah, Will and I are having a lot of sexual problems. Which is so funny.
Yeah, that is really funny.
Oh, look at Bless. He's really having an issue.
It's so fascinating that he's having microphone problems.
Will, Sean, tell her what it's like when I have technical issues.
It's not good.
I'm going to slam the laptop in a second.
We had McConaughey on once, and he was trying to, and he was in the blind, and Jason was having issues, and it took 20 minutes, and he got so mad, and he was like, fuck, and he started freaking out, and McConaughey starts laughing with his camera covered, and Jason goes, oh, it's really funny, is it?
Who's laughing? That's not helpful.
And he slammed his
computer. I slammed my laptop like a bitch.
Yeah.
Wow. It was not all right, is what you're saying.
No, it was not all right. So, Amy, how did you start in comedy? Yeah.
Oh, believe me, we're getting into that.
Oh, Lord. You guys, with your questions, they're so good. First of all, your questions are always so good.
Right?
So thought out. Okay.
We're up for, as you would call it, a Peabody.
Yeah, Peabody.
Hey, wait, Amy, how was SNL 50 fun? Because that show was great.
It was so fun. It was kind of...
You were so great on it.
It was kind of out of body. Like, it was kind of too... It was almost too big. Like celeb fatigue almost.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. And I think it was a big success.
Yeah, it was a great show. I started thinking about all the SUVs that must have been choking out Midtown. Yeah. Like, how
you want
did
me
they
to
get-
give you a... Yeah. You want me to give you a scoop? You want me to
give you a smartless scoop?
Yes. Like,
making news.
Breaking news. People had to share dressing rooms, and I shared mine with Meryl Streep.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Okay, is she a dirty bathroom girl? Does she keep the top off the toothpaste?
Well, SNL, you don't have your own bathroom. You have like a, you know, it is a straight up, everyone uses like a hall bathroom. You don't have your own bathroom in your own dressing room at SNL.
Do people still smoke back there?
No, I didn't see anybody smoking.
Just
maybe
Dave Chappelle.
Vaping, but yeah, maybe you could if you just did it. I bet no one would stop you.
Was she a good dressing room partner?
The loveliest. We were kind of two ships, but I took a picture of the door because nice to have my.
I love that sketch she did.
I know, so funny. Her and Kate. Ugh, yeah. Kate is so.
I mean, Kate could she have hiked those jeans up higher? I mean, it was.
I know.
It was
so great.
Just tough. Just tough.
But it was fun. It was so fun. It felt like a high school reunion. Everybody regressed a little bit back into their old roles.
Isn't that fun?
And it was fun. It was, you know, I can't believe I was there, to be very honest. Like,
you and,
it was
you
wild.
And Tina were great in your bit.
Yeah, you and Tina. I loved you guys. That was a great bit. That was so good.
Thanks.
For Tracy, Tina Fey. So listen, Amy, when you
Tracy's got the way, it, bro.
Sean, you treat Tracy like she's getting dumber.
Like, I'm kidding.
Wait. Amy, tell a little bit. Wait, just you guys, and then you and Maya did Bronx Beat, which is an all-time fave.
Hilarious.
Can you tell these guys probably don't know where Bronx Beat came from, the origin story of it?
The story of that is there's an amazing the head of the hair department, Jody Mancuso, is from the Bronx, and she has that accent, and she would just work with us in the hair and makeup room, and we just started talking like her. So there's a real Jody. So when we do the show, we always go into the hair room and just have Jody
get you on
be like
tone.
Our vocal dialect coach. Yeah, get us there.
Yeah, I love
did
that.
You have you ever thought about bringing her in on the sketch?
Yeah, but you know, it's funny that we brought Donna, the dresser, on for that moment. And the crew, like, they're so, you know, real professionals, like, don't care about being on camera.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a really actual good professional could give a shit if they're, like, if they're acting.
Except for Wally.
Wally loves it. Okay. Wally does love it.
Wally loves it.
Yeah, Wally the cute guy.
The stage manager.
But I said professional. I said professional. So.
But Amy, being back, doing that 50th like that, like you said, it's like a reunion. I think I asked you a long, long, long time ago when you departed the show and you decided to leave that I was like, won't you miss like that?
I thought you were kicked off. Sorry, I had a different...
I was asked to leave. I was making people uncomfortable. That's why.
Yeah.
You were given the opportunity to retire.
Yes.
Well, I had a very gentle HR meeting where a man in a suit put me on an elevator, Severance style, and I don't remember what happened since.
Do they have an HR on the show? Because if so, that's got to be a really high-trafficked office.
Well, they do. They do have an HR, and they do, like all of the shows that we've all worked on, you know, I mean, do you remember? And do we still have to go through the, you know, all that training every time, which is very good to do.
Every job.
But yeah, it is. I believe that they do that still and should.
Yeah,
it's probably a very different environment than I was there 20 plus years ago for all of us.
But when you like, you're one of the all time greats to ever, you know, be on SNL. And it is true. It's true.
Thanks.
I mean, everybody's great, but there's breakouts.
I really like your style.
Oh, somebody shouted it.
Fantastic. What about the after party? Was there a good, there must have been a very robust after party for this one.
Yep, robust after party at the Plaza Hotel.
Whoa. Was there an after with the little...
There may have been. I didn't hang that long. I love bedtime.
I
used to be a vampire, and now I love bedtime. Yeah. I think about bedtime all day.
Yes.
Do they still do the little, like the little sort of the size of like a fortune in a cookie? The hand a little address for the after party. Is that still something that's done?
I feel like one of the things that was different is, you know, things are texted and emailed and you know, I didn't have any of that when I was there. Wildly, we didn't even have phones that we. Carried around on the floor. I mean, maybe we did occasionally, but we would kind of leave them in the dressing room, but now everything is texted. So I imagine maybe it's a text now.
For the kids.
Maybe it's a Snapchat or some kind of YouTube channel people subscribe to. it's probably a podcast that tells you what where the after
you have to tune in.
Speaking of pods, you've got a new pod on, Amy.
Oh my God, thank you so much for that.
Tell us about your new pod.
Oh, that's why she's here.
That's
right.
So, yeah, that's right.
What's it called? And where can we find it?
Good Hang with Amy Poehler.
It's called Good Hang, and it's on Spotify.
Yes, can't wait.
And I'm very excited. It's been really fun. We've been recording, and getting ready for our launch. I don't know when this show is going to come on, when this one drops. How far ahead are you
this
guys?
July 2026.
Okay, July 2026. So it's been going for about a year, and it's been so good.
This is a good bump. This will be a good bump. We'll be right back.
And now, back to the show.
But Amy, I was going to ask you if you ever wanted to do sketch comedy again, because going back to what I was saying before, you're one of the all-time greats, and you, it's hard to find people that can do what you do, and Kristen Wiig does, and Maya, and Tina, and all these, you know, really breakout people can do. And so, but every time I see you do it, I'm like, ooh, I just wish you would go, like, do more sketch comedy.
Because but go
I
back fell in- how? Like, what do you mean? Like, do a sketch show? That's a lot of work.
I know, yeah. But so you're like, ooh, it's nap time, bedtime.
It just feels like, I know what you mean, Sean. I love doing it. I just don't know if I could launch back into an actual full-time sketch show. It's so much work. And creating the material, generating material is so time-consuming. But I love it.
As a fan, I think I speak for a lot of people. I'm like, oh, when we see you and everybody together, like, oh.
Well, we're not really taking questions from fans right now, but let me hey, Amy, you don't really still do like Ask At, or there's no version of that anymore.
No,
right?
Improv, right? But you know, Tina and I have been on tour. We've been, we've done our show a bunch of cities last year. We're going back out again in March, April, and May for. You know,
if you're in Orlando, do you have some dates you want to talk about?
Yeah, we have Orlando, we have Detroit, Chicago, Boston, we're playing Red Rocks.
Wow, no shit, Red Rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Is it written or is it improvised?
Yeah,
or?
So it's written. It's a long variety show. We have special guests come in and we do... we kind of go through the history of our 30-year friendship. But there's a section in it that where we talk about Chicago and how we met, and so we improvise there, which is really fun.
Yes, I want to talk about that because I did Second City too, and you did too.
Yeah.
And I never performed on the main stage, but you...
Same.
Wow. So people think you're probably from Chicago all the time, but you're from Boston.
Yeah, people think I'm from the Midwest a lot because also with Parks and Rec, their head goes to Indiana, so they think I'm like a Chicago...
Would you consider yourself like a Boston homegirl?
I mean, I'm definitely a homie.
Paula? Tell us how Bill Paula is.
Let's talk about Bill. Can we talk about Bill for a minute?
Oh, God, he'd love it.
So this is
he'd like us to talk for an hour.
This is he would. So this is the reason I got Chadwick's and Brigham mixed up. I just want to tell this story, I could. We can always cut it, Aim, by the way, which is...
We don't cut anything on this
we
show.
We went to...
No, I can tell. There's no editing.
This is super baggy.
We go to Brigham's, which is an ice cream store in the mall in Burlington, Mass., which is where Amy's from, with her mom and dad. Well, with her dad. And there's this girl, she's like, I don't know, 17, working there as like her afternoon weekend job, scooping ice cream. This is when Amy's first on SNL. And her dad goes, like, you know, 25 years, and goes to the girl, who's kind of silent, and he goes, you like your job? And she goes, she's like scooping ice cream. She's like, yeah, I guess so. And he goes, you know who really likes her job?
Yeah.
My daughter.
He teed himself up, huh?
It was so good.
That's great. Yeah.
But he's so
I don't think that's
proud.
Changed.
He's
proud. I love him.
He will get on the elevator with people and he'll say, do you like TV and movies? That's his question. Like, is anyone
saying
no?
And you're on the elevator with him?
We played golf with these guys years ago, and Bill and I were playing with some random dudes, and he gets back in the cart, and he looks at me and goes, well, I told him.
He can't help it.
He's so proud, though, in the best way. Both her parents.
My parents are, like, Boston strong, very proud. They, like, came
retired
to almost,
teachers.
They watched every SNL. They came to every early improv show I ever did live. They, like, had a big watch party for me when our show launched in 1998 on Comedy Central, UCB. Yes. They just are very, very big fans. And
they're the definition of supportive parents. Like, were they
the ones that were the first funnies in your family for you? Like, is that where you got your humor from?
Like, I throw this back out to you guys because I think that you probably have families like this too. You know, you have to kind of keep up. Like, for me, teasing is a love language.
If I
like you, I can tease you. And manners are kind of for people you don't know or you don't like.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, the idea that you could bust each other was a way in which to sharpen your skills. And so we would we would tease each other. There was a lot of laughs at the table. Like, it's very like Boston Irish. Yeah. And some families, I learned as I went to college, and like are not that, which is always so shocking to me when families are families don't get to like poke each other. It's like, oh, okay. It's a different set of rules.
And yeah. You would often accuse, well, first of all, I would say when you say sitting around the table, let's be honest, it's sitting around the kitchen.
Well, let's be honest, it's sitting around the TV.
It was sitting around the TV. But also you would accuse me of playing too hard, that Jason and I would play too hard.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
So it was this deep love. The love was too deep.
You know how they call things a love tap? You guys are a love shove. That's what you guys do. You love shove.
I love it.
I like that.
It's good.
But so it depends on the mood, you know? But
I agree with you. Like people, like you can meet people and it there is that thing of like, if I'm not teasing you.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
I'm not really interested.
Yeah.
Right.
In
yeah.
a way.
Yeah. I mean, but some people have a higher and lower tolerance. Like, you have to just be a little gentle.
But as far as your, I read too, Amy, that you say that you were parentified at a young age, meaning that like you became your parents because your parents were so young when they had you.
Yeah,
right?
My parents were young. And don't you feel that way? Like, I don't know. I don't know. But don't you feel, and this might be just our generation too. I just feel like we felt very old really fast. Like we felt we had freedom, which gave us a sense of, you know, agency. And then we had jobs really early and it just felt like we grew up fast. I don't know if that's a generational thing, but.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, the thing about Jason, I'm not joking, was out working when he was, sweet little JB was working when he was seven.
Bless. So cute. Ten. Like with a little briefcase and a little social security number.
And a small mustache.
Yeah.
So you guys, what I'm interested in, Amy, your background and your parents being school teachers, and learning kind of from that, like, what did you take from them for Archie and Abel? And Will, what did you take from your parents for Archie and Abel? And how do you do that together?
Let me try to bundle that for you. Amy, do you parent like your parents at all?
Oh, by the way.
Look at you, of all people.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been working on it. I've been working with a tutor.
You've been working on bundling?
Yeah, bundling is sort of a gathering term that he suggested I use. Internally, but I know I'm spreading it.
Yeah. that actually, you could sell a whole bunch of like a series of tapes.
Babe and Bundles.
Just talking about bundling other people's questions. Let me bundle that for you. You could be so successful talking about bundling. If you jumped on a mini trampoline and did a cold dip at the same time, you'd be a bundle. Bundle king. I think parenting is a constant, ever-changing like thing, right? It's like somebody said this to me once that I always loved, which was parenting is like a series of short stories. So a short story starts and you think, I don't know how this story is going to go. I don't know the characters. I don't even know what's going to happen. And then you're in the middle of the short story and you think, man, I never want this to end. I love this. I love this. I got it. I'm in the groove. I know what I'm doing. And then the short story is over and you think, oh no, there's no way the next one could be better. Yeah. It's just like a series of, your kid is changing so much and the world is changing so much and you have to stay kind of flexible, pliable. Mm. Learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
I think the difference for me is from my own parents, is I have to try really hard. Amy, you're really good at this, and you helped me do this in concert with you, to try to be, to remember to listen to what they're saying and to not try to impose what I think they, you know, you need this, you need that, but to actually sit and listen to what your kid is trying to say. Like, you know what I mean? Encourage them to, as much as they can, to speak and to really hear. And it's not, I don't come by it naturally because that's not how I was raised. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same. It doesn't always feel natural. Your instinct is to want to give them advice.
Yeah.
Or tell them what to be aware of or afraid of, or share your own personal stuff. Like, that's so instinctual, of course, because we want the best for our kids. And I remember reading somewhere that when your kid tells you something, you just repeat it back to them like you're doing a headline of a news story.
Yes.
It actually works really well with people, too. I bet it happens on this podcast, too. They say, oh, I had a bad I had a bad day in math. And then you go, you had a bad day in math. That's all you say, period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually thinking about what the bit is, like, you know what I mean? But you're right. You're right. And the other day, we were talking about something with one of our kids, and I said, Amy and I were talking on the phone, and I said, oh, I identify with that, and I think that my own experience, and you said to me, you're like, they don't really want to hear about your experience.
They want you to listen to theirs.
Yeah.
And this happens. Don't you feel like this happens as adults too? When someone talks about like, well, when I used to, you're just like, oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
You know, even in your 50s, it still happens where someone talks about, well, I, you know, in the business I used to be in, we would be able, and you're like, well, that's not the way it is anymore, old man.
Right.
It's not that you don't understand. Like,
yeah,
it's so,
Jason,
it's,
you must get old man a lot,
yeah,
right?
I do a lot more recently. It's pretty shocking. I find that it's I'm constantly battling, like, how much should I be like leading this parenting thing, or how much should I be reacting to this parenting thing? In other words, like, should I be waiting to see what they need me to parent them at, or should I initiate sort of parenting based on nothing they're actually showing me? In other words, like, should I wait to see until how they react to a certain situation and then talk to them about that?
Boy, this could use a bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could bundle this.
Are we still rolling? Can we go back to one?
I think what you're trying to say, yeah.
Amy, let's bundle.
Hey,
wait, Amy, try to guess what he's trying to say, please.
I think the bundle here is, how can I be best of service to my kids?
Yes.
That's
great.
When they're teens, yeah. That's the bundle.
So good. That's the bundle.
But, you know, I read something, and by read something, I mean I saw it on TikTok. supposedly when your kids become teens, you go from producer to consultant. That's the difference. You're no longer producing their lives. You're there for them to consult.
Yeah.
You have to kind of let them start producing their own lives, which is not easy.
Perfect use of the bundling concept.
Yes.
Right.
And I've also heard that, you know, part of, like, I've heard you love therapy as much as I love therapy.
Oh,
I can talk about it all day long. I love it. I love going to therapy. And because
you go to therapy?
Yeah.
Are you sick?
And I'm always trying to make her laugh. And she's like, hey, let's get back on topic. But but
she's so lucky to have you. You're so funny, Sean.
Yo, thanks,
Amy. You're the funniest.
No, you're the funniest. And so, but you, I've heard, which means I saw on TikTok, that you identify as someone who's a natural, like, fixer, or you want to get into action and problem solve, because that's kind of how I am a little bit.
Mm.
But as you've gotten older, that you've taught yourself how to pause and feel feelings and stuff like that. And how...
Barely.
You got a lot of quotes out there.
I do my research.
You're already talking out loud. You're really living out loud.
I sent Sean a bunch of needlepoint pillows with a bunch of stuff on it, and took credit for it. He's filled with pillows.
I just regurgitate a whole conversation you had on your phone that I overheard. How has that, like, shaped you today? Because I also read that you, the best work that you've ever done is the work where you feel most present.
Yeah, I think improv was really helpful with that. Like, you had to stay super present just to be, I mean, I imagine you guys feel that with this podcast too, right? Like, you're actually where you are.
Yeah.
As opposed to being ahead or behind, which is really hard. I'm still searching for that. Still every day trying to stay in the present moment.
It's
not easy for me, like, to not, you know, jump ahead.
Will you talk to me about that? Because I've always been told that, like, it's best to just stay in the present. But, like, my brain tells me...
I know. But you, like, go in there and your brain is like...
Well, I got plans, you know? I've got a desire for the way I want this meeting to go, or this week to go, or something like that.
Yes, I know what you mean. I struggle with that too. I know.
JB, that's so sweet. It's true. You do go in with that.
Like, what are you supposed to do with that? Wait, what is that? Is that me inhaling a bong
hit?
Inside your brain.
Oh. Yeah. It's just
And then a little plan flies by like a bird, like,
yeah,
that's a little plan.
So am I just supposed to react to things and not drive anything?
I don't know. It's a great question, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm struggling with that all the time. How much can I be prepared? Because that calms me down.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation calms me down.
Yeah.
But, you know, life, you cannot control things in life. I mean, it's just like you have to let go.
You know, what's a perfect example of that, JB, today, when I just told you I sprained my foot really bad last night. It was so painful. I can't even describe it. And I woke, and my old me would have been like, oh my God, I got to cancel this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And I'm like, this is what it is right now. And I surrender to it. And I go, if I can't do this and I have to cancel that and I can't show up for that, then that's what it is.
I think.
And it used to make me really depressed.
I think there is, that is one of the benefits I've been saying recently. I've been saying in therapy I've been saying that.
Wait, Will, you're going. That's great. And you're 54. Okay. Very good.
And what I've noticed at 54 is, and especially in the last 6 months, that I'm, it just kind of occurred to me. I'm like, oh, I'm doing a much better job of this is what the situation is. Mm-hmm. This, and I'm realizing it in real time. And I'm not really in a panic about the outcome. I'm just accepting it for what it is. And I said this to you the other day. Like, I got this notion of like, feelings are going to come. Feelings aren't going to kill you. Your feelings aren't going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's a big one. And it really, and I went, And I can feel it, and then I can let it go. And I can recognize, I think I used to, you know, you'd freak out and then you'd think about it later. And now I can, in real time, go, oh, this is where I am. In a much better way than I, for me anyway, that I've ever been able to do. And I think that that's the benefit of being older, having experience, et cetera.
I find my 50s to be my favorite decade by far.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Far. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So wait till you get to your 60s. It's pretty cool. I'm having a great time.
No.
Yeah.
Listen.
What if you guys find out you see Jason's license one of these days and you find out he's 62?
I thought about that the other day. No, Willie, I like what you said about like not being attached to the outcome. Maybe that's a good hack for me. It's like, it's okay to be prepared, but don't be like stuck on it has to end this way.
Yeah. Again, it's a new concept for me. I've just been kind of going through it. And it's very freeing.
Well, like Jason, for example, your mic hasn't been working this whole time and the audio hasn't recorded and you should be fine with that. Like, just let that go.
No.
It's going to be great. It's a great episode and just let go of the outcome
touch it.
Of that.
I can't move it.
Amy, any funny stuff happen on stage before with people? Any funny stories?
No, come on. Wait, Amy, why is 50 the best decade?
I feel like I finally have a better sense of who I am, kind of what we've been talking about. I have some of my priorities are, you know, like I just feel like I'm a little kinder to myself. I definitely care less about how I'm perceived by other people as long as I feel like my side of the street is clean.
Yeah, nice.
And I have a lot of wise people younger and older than me. Like I'm in this sandwich of experience. So I learn a lot from people who are younger than me and I learn a lot from people that are older than me, and knock on wood, I still feel healthy. Like being in your 50s, you're like the youngest old person you know. You're the youngest of the old people.
Is that true?
You're the freshman of old people.
That's really true.
And so we'll never be this young again in our 50s because, you know, I'm looking to people in their 60s and 70s to seeing like how they're living life, how they're doing it, how they're keeping healthy. And then I still feel connected to people in their 20s and 30s. Like it doesn't feel so far away.
Yeah, I'm on medication to reverse the aging process.
Ooh, what are you doing?
I'll text you. I'll send it in the chat.
You're that guy who does all those crazy things to like stay in super shape.
Oh my God, remember that? Did you watch that?
So,
oh my God, that's wild. Wait, Amy, remember when you used to come over and we would watch Intervention?
Oh my God!
We would airplay all the instruments in the opening theme.
Great theme,
by
Intervention.
That's
what a
good
great
show!
I know that show made me so uneasy.
I wanted to tell the story, or for you to tell the story about. Remember the time that you told your friend that the TV was voice activated?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Have you told that story?
I don't remember.
Oh God! Can I try to tell it?
Yeah.
Sean was with a bunch of friends, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to help you out.
And you guys were really
We would get stoned after an episode of Will and Grace. And we would go, we went back to his house one night.
Will and Grace, that's the show you were on.
That's it.
I never got that.
Amy, you couldn't think of it?
Yeah. Talk Amy, about a
never
show,
gonna get through
huh?
it.
This guy.
a story that long will never make it on here.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No, tell it. It's good. It's really good.
Just bundle it.
All right, well, bundle it.
I'll try to bundle it. Okay,
bundle
here we go.
It, bundle it.
So we would go back after, we would get stoned, and we'd just hang out and talk about the night and whatever after we tape an episode of Will and Grace. So we go to his house. It was a brand new house, and he has a brand new house, and he has a brand new media system, this massive screen in the screening room. And I'm high out of my mind. I can't even see straight. And he goes, I just got the DVD of Castaway. We should watch it where the plane goes down because the effects are so cool, right? I'm like, yeah, let's put it on and watch it. So he walks all the way to the front of the screening room and I'm way in the back and I start to giggle. He's like, what's so funny? I'm like, nothing. And he can't get it to play. And I go, is that a Sony? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, those are the new ones. You don't even know what you have. You're so rich, right? They're voice activated. And he goes, what? And I go, those are voice activated new screens. Like you have to speak the name of the movie into the DVD player. And he goes, you're making that up. That's not even true. I go, those are the new screens. You have to speak the name of the movie. And he totally bought it. And he goes really close into the DVD player. And he goes, Castaway. And he looks at the screen and it didn't come up. And the second time, Castaway. And I couldn't
breathe. Me and Meredith Walker say Castaway into our remote control a lot.
No way.
A lot. And into our DVD
Castaway.
A lot.
Castaway.
Castaway.
Oh, Meredith. Let's say hi to Meredith. Hi, Deej.
Hi, Meredith. Oh, we love
hi, Deej.
Are you guys still working together? It's a friend of all of ours, Meredith Walker.
Yes,
is she still in Austin?
Yep, living in Austin.
Hey, oh.
She's so great. I love
her. We love Meredith. We love
yeah,
Meredith.
We say Castaway quite a bit.
Oh, that's great.
I love telling someone something is voice activated when it isn't. I don't like a prank. I'm not a prank person at all.
You might know this, for anybody to use.
That is a harmless, funny prank. That is harmless.
We'll be right back.
All right, back to the show.
Okay, so wait.
Sean, do you have any questions for Amy, your guest?
It's okay. I mean, we don't need to.
This is minute 46. I don't think we've had a legit one yet.
I know. I've asked her a couple ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do we really need to? I mean,
a conversation.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
I do want to get into, you touched on it before. Talk a little bit about when you were in Chicago, Amy, and how you knew...
Yeah,
your experience with Second City. Who was in that when you were on the tour? Toured with Second City and Improv Olympic Chicago, all that stuff, and then how that moved to New York and UCB and all that stuff. Bundle it.
I mean, it is. I'll bundle it because it is important as a storyteller to discuss my craft.
You will get kicked off this podcast if you use the word storyteller.
I love telling a story, and I love crafting story, and I love my story craft to be about telling craft.
We like on this podcast more than independent film is talking about independent film. Go ahead, Amy.
Started out in Chicago and arrived at Second City in 93, and the seniors to my freshmen were on the main stage of Chicago, Amy Sedaris, Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert.
Amazing.
Mike Myers and Chris Farley had just left to go to like stardom at SNL. I rented Chris Farley's old apartment.
In Chicago?
In Chicago. Wow. I didn't know I was renting it, but you know.
In the Hancock building?
No, it was earlier one. Yeah, you know, back then in the 20s, when we were in our 20s and we moved every year. Like, remember moving every year?
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
And I think the apartment was probably like $390 a month.
Yeah.
And hard to make that rent.
Yeah.
And then, studied and met Tina there very early on and met Rachel Dratch, who I was the understudy for at Second City. And it was just, the place was lousy with talent. Yeah, everyone was amazing. So great. And then UCB, Matt Besser, Matt Walsh, Ian Roberts, Ali Faranaki.
All great guys. Yes.
Adam McKay, all yes. those guys, Neil Flynn, they were all part of a big improv group called The Family that yeah. we would go and watch, and they were incredible. And then they also had UCB. I joined in 93, and then in 96, which is not that much time now that I think about it. It was only 3 years, but we left and moved to New York, drove to the city, did a show, and just
Who's
started. Well, at the time, it was, Will, I don't want this to be uncomfortable for you, but here I was comes. Dating Matt Besser at the time, so yeah. it was a different
I knew it.
Relationship.
I fucking knew
yeah.
it. No, truly, I knew it. But here's the thing. Here's a funny story, and Amy knows this. So 96, and she knows how good I am with dates in this.
Yeah, you're very good.
96, they come and they do UCB, so it's Amy, Walsh, Besser, and Ian. And they do their show Bucket of Truth, which was an amazing show. It was so funny. It was a sketch show, the improv and sketch, et cetera. And they're doing it downstairs at the West Bank on 42nd Street. And Peter Principato, the beloved Peter Principato, who He's we all love.
Yeah, right?
Love, my first agent.
Yeah, first
at
agent.
At William Morris.
And Peter Principato, and he was my agent at the time. And he said to me, hey, I've just signed this new comedy group. You've got to go see them. They're performing at the West Bank. So I went with Duff and Amy. I was dating Missy at the time. I don't know if I told you
touché.
That.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
hey, yeah.
So wow. I go. So we go, the three of us, to the West Bank, knowing nothing, go downstairs to that little stage and watch them do Bucket of Truth, and we're blown away. We go upstairs.
You had not yet met Amy.
Had not yet met. We watched the show. We're blown away. We go for a drink after. We're talking about it. We talked about it for a few days because nobody was doing what they were doing. And we were like, God, that was so funny. And it was so inventive. And it was so cool. And blah, blah, blah. So that is January of 1996. And just like, what the fuck? Continue. Sorry, Amy.
Yeah. Then we were there just slogging away. And like Will said, and we remember this too, right? Like people had to come see you live. They had to go actually see you. We didn't have any, like... Now you can really deep dive on someone really fast on the internet, but we didn't have that. So you had to like go see people live.
What was that first space you guys had when you started?
We had a Solo Arts was the name of like the walk-up theater where we would improvise there and stuff. So we just kind of, you know, slogged for a while in New York and handed out flyers in Washington Square Park, and everyone, I was a waitress and just thinking like, okay, you know, and then I started getting some bits on Conan because of Andy Richter. And that's where I got like my SAG card. That's where I got I got paid like an under five. Mm.
And now you're in the building though, right? Like could you like taste the possibility of SNL perhaps? Did you allow yourself to start to dream that?
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good question. I think you're right. I didn't really put that together, but you're right. Like walking in a 30 Rock, I always feel like with jobs and stuff like, Chicago felt like where I was getting my training, but New York and Los Angeles, it's almost like, you know, when you're having like a pickup game of basketball and someone's just standing around and you're like, hey, come play. Like,
don't say sure.
Your proximity to the game can be very helpful.
Yes.
Like getting closer to the game, just being around. So that's what happened. When we moved to New York, we were just a little closer to the game. So we got asked to do things.
And you're doing bits on Conan, and you did Andy's sister, Richter's sister, and you started doing more. And all those guys were there who were writers, a lot of whom were performers from Chicago you knew, like McCann and Glazer and all those guys. Brian Stack, one of the all-time greats. And all those people, they're all there writing on Conan. And you guys are all kind of part of this group of people who are creating comedy, right?
Yeah, my decision to move to Chicago was probably the best decision for me in my career because it allowed me to meet all these people really fast who then went on to do things that I got to be a part of. Like they remembered me for things, they put me in small things, they, you know, wrote things for me. And it like was just this like concentrated feeling of comedy at the time that then everybody went to LA and New York and, you know, and McKay was the head writer of SNL and then Tina got a job there.
It's, like, that's amazing.
We all just started. It was really, really cool to and I depended on the kindness of a lot of those people for a long time to have a job.
Mm. Let me ask you like a tough question and I'll try to bundle here. It's basically after all of the accomplishment, you just walked us through the whole beginning and everything. It just seems like you've done or maybe even far exceeded what you allowed yourself to dream of at that age when you were starting. what's left? What would you love to do in your next,
now that you're a freshman? Why do you still get out of bed, Amy?
I mean, you've done it. You've had this incredible career already, and you're still, as you said, a freshman. Like, where would you love, how would you like to use what you've done, the success you've had? Go ahead.
Well, I am, that's why I'm starting to wind down, and this podcast is the beginning of that. Like, I'm just starting to wind down away from showbiz.
We're the number two most downloaded podcast on the planet. So just
podcast she's talking about.
Oh, yeah, that is a wind down. You're right. That is a wind down.
No? Or are you talking about us?
Well, you know what? It remains to be seen. But honestly, it is kind of why I'm excited to do a podcast. Because I'm actually, Jason, to genuinely answer your question, I am excited about what is the next. I like thinking about what is the next thing to do. Like, I like trying new things. That's what keeps me feeling engaged in the world and in our creative. So I'm very excited about this new podcast because I really like, I'm a huge fan of podcasts in general.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
I listen to them all the time and they're really replaced a lot of like media for me. Right. And I'm into the idea of exploring it because I really like talking to people and I'm curious about people and I learn a lot about myself.
Yeah.
And I like to have fun. Like, I think what's happened in the space, especially for women, is that women are being asked to be like teachers and wise leaders and like a lot of, and they don't get to fuck around and like do very little research like you guys.
Yeah,
you know,
zero.
Like,
You guys do not know
who the guest is, which is the wildest con in the world.
By the way, you could have bundled that insult if you, that would have been a lot nicer. But let me ask you a tough question.
Sean, shut up.
Amy, answer this question honestly. This is a tough one. This is a hard hitting, all right?
All right.
And I know you're very serious for a comedian, so that's okay. Her mom used to say that to her when they'd get into arguments.
When we get into a fight, she'd say, "You're so serious for a comedian."
So, wait, have you ever listened to Smartless?
Of course I have.
Okay, you have. Okay.
That's a little high.
I've listened to Smartless.
No, she did go up on that.
Of course I have. My favorite episode is the one with the lady and the other one with the guy. I love the one with the guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I like the one with the Bradley.
But your answer to my unbundled question sort of gets into the area of there is a slight plan, but you still want to kind of stay in the present and not be too sort of strategic about what the next 5-10 years are, right? So, like, how do you find the balance there?
I guess it's just figuring out, what is, feels challenging. I like a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I like mixing things up to feel challenging. And also a big part of my 50s has been balancing my relationship to work in general.
Right.
And how do I make sure that there's real balance in my life. Like, I the last 5 years, you guys were talking about being
stuff
on your podcast.
Stuff that's not challenging, potentially, right?
Exactly.
Just relaxing,
like, yes. Like, basically, how to find ease and enjoy, you know, the past 5 years have been wild.
Right.
And, you know, what you guys do here, what I've been doing is just, like, trying to just genuinely laugh with my friends. It's been actually, you know, how I've been keeping sane and... So I want to just do whatever feels like that, which feels kind of fun and a little bit challenging. And so I'm always trying to figure it out. I don't know. Right. It's a long-winded answer.
No, I love it. I don't know.
No, but it makes total sense. It's basically a combination of all the things. And you're able to combine now because you're older and smarter and wiser. And it doesn't have to be like all go on career or all go on just like, no, fuck it, I don't want to do anything. We're actually able to merge both now finally at this age, I think.
And women, I think, especially have often a burden to really pay attention to what everybody is doing and feeling. And then if you have the luxury of turning it around and trying to figure out yourself, it's like that is what can be great about getting older. And women do really well, I think, when they like give themselves time to
Let
do
me
that.
Speak to that. Let me speak about women because I think—
Yeah, let's talk about women. But we'll go ahead. Your thoughts on women?
But Emma, who is that person that you bounce stuff off of? Or when you get like...
Oh, I would say all of the women in my life have been like really, really helpful mentors and teachers and friends and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, you know, the women in my life that have been through it with me, I think, is really the biggest resource for me. You know, people who have kids and people who, you know, who understand what it's like to feel overwhelmed and stuff. And especially the past 5 years, which has just been a complete insane, hit after hit of sci-fi nightmares.
Yeah. Right. It's a dream of mine. But what's it like? What's it like being, for you and Will, being on the verge of being empty nesters? It's not the verge, but it's gonna come sooner than later. Oof. Do you think about that? And like,
I do.
How that relates to what you're gonna do?
I know.
Yeah. I haven't really, but kind of in the short story metaphor, I don't feel like the story that I'm there yet, so I'm not quite.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it feels so. I don't even know.
It sucks. I got one about to go to college, and it's fucking,
how does it feel, Jace?
It's bleak, you know, because there's just it's a mortality thing. It's like it's, you know, we all kick it down
it's
the
about
road.
You.
but it's like it's the concept of the end of something that is just something you is conveniently kind of pushed aside, and then it's here.
Can I say something about that that I've noticed? And this is JB. This is I've learned from you something that, and I mean this gently, and I mean this sweetly, which is
going to hurt.
No, which is Jason's been so nervous and anxious about Franny going to college for a few years, and he's talked about it, and so I see him going through the pain for so long, and this is an example of not living in the present. So sometimes I think that you had a tough time enjoying the moment because you're just so. You've been anticipating it. For years, you've been putting that out and talking about it. And
I'm trying to separate myself from her so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, by
that's
the way,
true.
Which is so you. Like, remember you do that? Like, Jason's thing to not laugh when he's in a take is to think about people dying in a car crash. I'm not kidding. And then he doesn't, and then he won't go up. Right?
Well, we all know.
We all do that.
Yeah, we all know Jason is sociopathic.
You know, no, he's a robot. But the thing is, I see that in you, and I've said it to you before. I'm like, it's okay. Like, let that moment come when that moment comes and enjoy. Right. So I've been using it. I keep reminding myself, just enjoy it now. Mm. Enjoy it now. It's not, again, right. not it's easy.
It is not easy.
No.
It's a great
Well, raise your hand if you think you're going to live to 100 and if you want to live to 100.
That's me.
Okay, three of us are raising our hand. Sean is not raising. God, it's that ankle. Sean's like, I can't go on with that ankle. I can't. With this ankle, no way.
No,
I
think we've got a shot. The ankle was the last straw.
I think we got a shot.
Yeah, no, it's really, didn't one of these really smart scientists lately say that the person that's going to live to 120 or 150 or something is already born?
Yep.
Like, that's going to be kind of common in this generation. Like, 100 is like the new
80. Yeah, but what kind of life do you have at 120?
Yeah, Sean, I hear you. Like, as long as it feels like a fruitful life. But, you know, imagine if you were like a little dude in a cute little suit.
But they cut to the, like in the news, like the local news, they cut to like, Marjorie is 106 today, and we visited her, and she can't talk or move, or she...
And they're like, Marjorie, what advice do you have for people to live this long? She's like, make sure that...
She's got cake falling out of her mouth.
Laugh every day.
Yeah,
please
exactly.
Walk in. Have a glass of wine.
Exactly. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be Marjorie.
Remember Ernest Borgnine had that great, he had this great advice on how to live forever, which was to snap one off every day. And Amy,
oh,
you
did?
Know, and and you know where he lived? In Jason and Amanda's house. And so I always remind him to think about Ernest Borgnine walking around that
throwing
house.
Goo all over the place.
He had Borgnine lives, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Very
beautiful.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Amy, I have one last comment before we let you go because we've had you for too long. And I want to thank you for your time. But
thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
I told you, and both you and Will, I love Arch and Abel so much, and I love Maple and Franny too, and both of you, everybody on this
we love
podcast
Ricky.
Right now. You guys have done such a phenomenal job with between your journey between you two. Your kids are just unbelievable, great human beings. And it's the greatest compliment, you know, because you guys. Yeah, I just love them, and you guys.
They're incredible.
And I wanted to remind people to listen to Good Hang with you.
Thank you. It's on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
And I have great guests coming out. Tina Fey is my first guest.
No kidding.
That's great.
Yep. Because, you know, why give America what they want.
And then get Dax on there. Dax will give you some pointers.
Yeah,
he did
Dax
for us.
Would be great.
Can't wait. Yeah, any pointers, guys, now that you're 5 years in?
No. As you can tell, we've learned nothing.
Yeah, I think
zero. We're less people.
I mean, if you guys can do it.
Exactly. It's true. Anybody can do it. By the way, Amy, you won't be surprised that we haven't looked at comments forever. They'd always be like, their questions suck and they interrupt people all the time. And I'm like, yeah, of course we do. What are you talking about?
Exactly. No, I mean, the conversation.
If you guys have taught me anything, and you've taught all individually and collectively, you've taught me so much.
This is going to hurt.
It's don't overthink it.
Right.
Don't overthink it.
It's good.
Unbelievable.
I'm so glad we finally got you. We love you,
Amy. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It was so fun.
Thank you.
Okay,
Amy.
Glad it was a fun surprise.
It was such a good surprise. I'm bringing the boys over.
Okay. Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye. Bye, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. My pleasure.
So, well, that was fantastic to meet her. Yeah. I've been such a fan of hers for, I don't know.
How funny. I had you know what? When you were doing the intro, and of course I was like, and then she was like, oh, you didn't. I was like, it never occurred to me.
You just thought it was coincidental that Amy did all those
How
things.
Did you guess it, Jay? From what?
Because you said a queen of Massachusetts or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you
knew it just like that. I had that. Such a like, yeah.
I love that you didn't know. I told Amanda last week.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Amanda could work for the government. She is very good about keeping a secret.
But the kids, Abel's here right now. He never said a word.
I love that.
God bless him.
I love your face.
I'm going to go drag him out of his bed.
That was rad. Listen, it's not to get weird, but I hope you're as proud as you should be, and she as well. I mean, like,
yeah,
that went beautifully. Like the fact that you guys not only have raised these two kids so well, but your relationship is so great and healthy, and that you could do a fucking 1 hour podcast in front of millions of people and not have to fake anything. Like it's just,
it's really cool.
Pretty admirable.
I know it's full disclosure. It like any couple that goes through the journey you've gone through, it took a while, but you're there now.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know, I am really proud of it. And of course it takes, things take a minute because everybody's sort of adjusting to what it is. But I'm also very proud of, certainly as parents, what we've been able to do. And that, has been really important to both of us. I'm really, really lucky to have her as a partner in this way for us to parent.
How
in this
lucky
way.
Archie and Abel are too that you guys like worked out a brand new relationship that serves you both and them, and it's
and I would say that I probably there aren't many people I speak to more than I speak to her, which is weird because I mean? But it's great. I feel really lucky, and I do.
Does Josh Shotland get jealous at all? Or
he does, but she is somebody that I still run a lot of stuff by. If I'm thinking,
does who get jealous
if Josh is not available?
He's my buddy Josh. You know that I FaceTime.
Oh, Josh, I didn't hear what you said. Yeah,
but I still like she's the person I go like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, or hey, like whether it's life or work, and I seek her counsel because it's important to me because I trust her in that, you know?
Yeah, and she's a sharp cookie.
She's awesome. She's awesome. And so...
What is the... What was the buy from the opening?
It was a bicentennial. Like to hunt 250 episodes.
That's right.
So guys, that was unbelievable. And enjoy the rest of your day.
It's our 250th episode. I can't believe it.
Wait, what? You remember 1976 here at the United States?
That was the 200th. That was the
bicentennial, everybody.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbago.
Smartless.